It's a really short book in the Old Testament, and it's good. We just did Philippians, which is like my favorite short book of the New Testament. Ruth is my favorite short book of the Old Testament, and that'll take us right up to about the Christmas time. And so we're going to start off, as we do, with the Bible Project video of an overview of the book of Ruth.
The book of Ruth, it's a brilliant work of theological art, and it invites us to reflect on the question of how God is involved in the day-to-day joys and hardships of our lives. There are three main characters in the book: Naomi the widow, Ruth the Moabite, and Boaz the Israelite farmer. And their story is told in four chapters that are beautifully designed. Let's just dive in and see how this all unfolds. Chapter 1 opens with this line, "In the days when the judges ruled." And it reminds us of the very dark and difficult days from the book of Judges. And here we meet an Israelite family in Bethlehem, struggling to survive through a famine. And so in search of food, they move on to the land of Moab, Israel's ancient enemy. And there the father of the family dies, and the sons marry two Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. And then the sons, they die too. And so they leave only Naomi and these new daughters-in-law. And so Naomi, she has no reason to stay anymore. And so she tells her new daughters-in-law that she's moving back home. And Naomi, she knows that the life of an unmarried foreign widow in Israel is going to be very hard. And so she compels the women to stay behind. Orpah agrees, but Ruth does not. She shows remarkable loyalty to Naomi, and she says, "Wherever you go, I'm going to go. Your people will become my people, and your God will become my God." And so the two of them return to Israel together. And the chapter concludes with Naomi changing her name to Mara, which means bitter in Hebrew, and she laments her tragic fate. Chapter 2 begins with Naomi and Ruth discussing where they're going to find food. And it just so happens to be the beginning of the barley harvest. And so Ruth goes out to look for food, and it just so happens that she ends up picking grain in the field of a man named Boaz, who just so happens to be Naomi's relative. We're told that Boaz is a man of noble character, and he notices Ruth. And so after finding out more about her story, he shows remarkable generosity to her. He makes these special provisions so that the immigrant Ruth can gather grain in his field. And in doing so, Boaz is actually obeying an explicit command of the Torah to show generosity to the immigrant and the poor. Boaz is so impressed by Ruth's loyalty to Naomi, he prays for her that God will reward her for her boldness. So Ruth comes home that day, and Naomi finds out that she met Boaz, and she is thrilled. She says Boaz is their family redeemer. Now, this family redeemer thing, this was a cultural practice in Israel where if a man in the family died and he left behind a wife or children or land, it was the family redeemer's responsibility to marry that widow, to take up the land and protect that family. So Naomi, she begins to hope that perhaps there might still be a future for her family. Chapter 3 begins with Naomi and Ruth making a plan to get Boaz to notice their situation. So Ruth is going to stop wearing clothes of a grieving widow, and she's going to show signs that she's available to be married. And so Ruth goes to meet Boaz on the farm that night. And as she approaches, Boaz wakes up, and he's totally startled. And Ruth makes her intentions very clear. She asks if Boaz will redeem Naomi's family and marry her. Boaz is once again amazed by Ruth's loyalty to Naomi and her family, and he calls Ruth a woman of noble character. It's the same term used to describe the woman of Proverbs 31. So Boaz tells Ruth to wait until the next day, and he will redeem both Ruth and Naomi legally before the town elders. And so the chapter ends with Ruth returning to Naomi, and they marvel together at all of these recent events. In chapter 4, it all comes together. It turns out, at the last minute, Boaz discovers there is a family member who's closer to Naomi than he is, and he's actually eligible before him to redeem the family. But at the last second, this family member finds out that he's going to have to marry Ruth, the Moabite, and so he declines. But Boaz, remember, he knows Ruth's true character, and so he acquires the family property of Naomi, and he marries Ruth. And so just at the beginning, how Ruth was loyal to Naomi's family, so now Boaz is loyal to Naomi's family as well. The story concludes with a reversal of all of the tragedies from chapter 1. So the death of the husband and the sons is reversed as Ruth is married again and gives birth to a new son, granting joy to Naomi. And this symmetry between the opening and the closing, it's even more remarkable. So remember, the opening tragedy was followed by a great act of loyalty on the part of Ruth. And that is now matched by Boaz's act of loyalty that leads to the family's final restoration. And this symmetry, it highlights the design of the internal chapters as well. So each of the chapters begins with Naomi and Ruth making a plan for their future. And that's followed by a providential meeting between Ruth and Boaz. And each chapter concludes with Naomi and Ruth rejoicing at what's taken place. This story is beautifully designed, and that design actually connects with a really interesting feature of the story, and that's how little God is mentioned. Right? The characters talk about God a few times, but the narrator actually never once mentions God doing anything directly in the story, and that's its brilliance. Because God's providence is at work behind every scene of this story, weaving together the circumstances and choices of all these characters. So Naomi, her tragedy leads her to think that God is punishing her. But actually, the whole story is about God's mission to restore her and her family. And he's doing so through Ruth, through her boldness and loyalty, which brings healing to Naomi's life, but not without Boaz, who's a no-nonsense farmer who's full of generosity and loyalty. And so God uses his integrity combined with Ruth's boldness to save Naomi and her family. And so this story brilliantly explores the interplay of God's purposes and will with human decision and will. God weaves together the faithful obedience of his people to bring about his redemptive purposes in the world. And that leads to the real end of the story. The book of Ruth concludes with a genealogy showing how Boaz and Ruth's son, Obed, was the grandfather of King David, from whom came the lineage of the Messiah. And so all of a sudden, these seemingly mundane, ordinary events in this story are woven into God's grand story of redemption for the whole world. And so the book of Ruth invites us to consider how God might be at work in the very ordinary, mundane details of our lives as well. And that's what the book of Ruth is all about.
So, gives you a good picture of this whole thing. It's really well done. It's very, so make it easy for us to follow. Let's look here at the first verse. Ruth 1:1 says, "Now it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab, and his wife and his two sons." The first line there, it says, "It came about in the days," is kind of like today if a story started off long ago and far away. So what we know about Ruth is it is written much after this actual story happens. Now, scholars will say anywhere from 150 to 500 years later, the book is actually written, and there's different reasons, and we're not going to get into that at this point. But this, what happens, the story takes place in a distant past, but it's written in such a way as to speak to what is going on in the time the writer is writing. It addresses specific issues in the nation of Israel, whether it's 150 or 200 years or 300 years after Ruth lived, and Boaz and Naomi. And there will be clues throughout the book that tell us what those issues are. Ruth is more than a history book, and it's more than a book, you know, a story with a moral lessons. It has history, it has moral lessons, but that's not its primary purpose. Can ask the question is, how do we know what was going on during the time the book's written when we don't even know when the book was written? Well, there's a good way of knowing that, and that's reading the book, and it's filled with clues. It's just packed with clues about what specific problems are going on in whatever community it was that's taking place. What we're going to do is just unpack all of those problems that are taking place. And verse 1 has a whole mess of them. So we might not get very far today, but it is an introduction. When we read a book like Ruth, we need to understand that it is first theological. It is a book about God, even though, like he said in there, he's in the background and is working with people. And as a theological work, the first thing it is it is a story of redemption. That just comes out clear throughout the book. It's about God redeeming his people, redeeming people in general, and we might even say in our language a story of salvation. And from our post-New Testament perspective, what we will say, that obviously the early people who heard this story would not have understood this, but from our perspective, it is a story about the gospel. The book of Ruth reveals the gospel of Jesus Christ in a story form. In this book, we see the death and resurrection, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and what that has, the impact that will have upon the world. But also from a theological perspective, and he mentioned it in the video, is that we see how God and humanity work together as co-workers, partners, to accomplish his, God's will, and to build God's kingdom in this world. So he goes on and he says, it came about in the days when the judges governed, and he mentioned in the video that was a dark time in the history of Israel. When you read Judges, what you see is after Joshua, Judges comes, and we see the steady decline of the nation of Israel. There's just a nonstop down, 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 down. Now, every now and then, a hero comes around, and there's a little blip up for a short period of time. Things blip up, but then right after the hero dies, down, 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 another hero down, 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 down. Now, the heroes in the book of Judges were, for the most part, not all, but for the most part, were very flawed heroes. They are more like, think of the Guardian of the Galaxy heroes. You know, if you haven't watched Guardian of the Galaxy, this is totally like lost on you, but you know, Star-Lord and Rocket and the Green Lady. Those kind of heroes, instead of from our childhood Superman and Captain America heroes. So they're that kind of flawed type hero. And then what happens, what Ruth, the book of Ruth does, it places in to the book of Judges. It takes from a different book and sticks right in the middle of the book of Judges a hero, or let's say a couple heroes of a totally different kind. One of them, an outsider, who's not a part of anything, but all of a sudden she comes in as a hero. Kind of keeping with the Avengers theme, kind of like Captain Marvel does. You know, all of a sudden she just shows up in the story. And those heroes give us a totally different picture of what can take place. The next thing we see is there's a famine in the land. Famines, two things. They could be an indication of God's judgment, or they can be a sign that God is about to do something brand new. Or they can be both. And I think in the story of Ruth, we're going to see that they are both. As a result of this family, the one family has to leave Egypt, has to leave Israel. They have to leave Bethlehem, and they go to Moab. Now, as people discuss this, many of them feel like the leaving of Bethlehem to go to Moab was a bad thing. And it's often looked at as a negative thing. There's a concept throughout the Old Testament that the land is a place of blessing, and that when somebody leaves the land, bad things can and often do happen, and that's true, and this may be a bad thing for them to do, but it's not always the case in the Old Testament that when somebody leaves the land, bad things happen. Sometimes that's not the case at all. But in this case, some bad things happen after they leave the land. But it is, so it may be a negative story about this family, but it's also a negative story about the community in Bethlehem. Because Israel's scriptures are very clear that the people of Israel were to take care of one another, and this family should never have gotten to the point in that community where they felt like they had to leave. And it's, we're going to see, it's judgment upon this community that this happened. So maybe there's something wrong with the family, but there's also definitely something wrong with the community that allowed it to get to this point. Their needs should have been met by the community. They go to Moab, and it's important to know a little bit about Moab. They are, that would be, Moab would be the closest place to Bethlehem, and there was a belief there was food there, and so that's why they went there. Moab, or the Moabites, they are descendants of Lot. Remember who Lot is? Lot is the guy, he was Abraham's nephew. He left Ur of the Chaldees with Abraham to come to the land. He came to the land, and both of them, their farms, their cattle, their livestock grew, and they had all kinds of problems, and so they had to separate, and Lot chose to go down to the valley where Sodom and Gomorrah were, and he lived there. And then in Genesis 19, you can go read, that's where the angels came down, they're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, get out, and the angels made Lot take his family and leave Sodom and Gomorrah before God destroyed those cities. And on the way out, what did Lot's wife do? Does anybody know what Lot's wife did? She what? She turned around. What did she turn into? Salt. So she became a pillar of salt. And so Lot is left with just two daughters. No way of the family continuing. But as a result of some, let's say, not so savory things, and I'm not going to go into it here. You can go read Genesis 19. But the daughters have two sons. Each of them have a son. The oldest has a son by the name of Ammon, and he becomes the father, the kind of the father of the Ammonite people. And then the second daughter has one named Moab, and he becomes the father of the Moabites and settles what is in this story Moab. When Israel, many, many, many years after this, left Egypt during the Exodus, as they were heading to the land, the Moabites were a problem, so were the Ammonites. But one thing the Moabites did is the women of Moab came to the men of Israel and seduced them and got them to follow idols and worship idols. And so in the Old Testament, Moabites are known for immorality and predatorial behavior. And here's what Moses says about them in the next slide. No Ammonite or Moabite shall enter the assembly of the Lord. None of their descendants, even to the 10th generation, shall ever enter the assembly of the Lord, because they did not meet you with food and water on the way when you came out of Egypt. He goes on to explain some of the bad things they do. And then verse 6, he says, you shall never seek their peace or their prosperity all your days. So Moabites were Israel's great enemy for centuries. About time we get to the book of Ruth. This is the background for the story. Ruth, the hero of this story, is the hated, the despised, the awful, the evil. And she becomes the hero. We think of Ruth, I think a lot of times we think of the story kind of like as a Disney, Cinderella, love story, everybody lives happily ever after. Because in one sense, that's there, right? The end there, everybody does live happily ever after, but really, it is different than that. It is probably one of the more subversive stories in the Old Testament. It is a divergent story. It is a protest story. It's very confrontational to those who are hearing the story. And what the story does is, and we've talked about this, Israel and we as Christians, we're often moving away from God's plan, God's purpose, God's mission, into our own plans, our own purposes, our own mission. And that's what was happening in the land of Israel. And Ruth is bringing it back. It's bringing the nation back to God's plan and mission and destiny for them, saying, you've gone the wrong way. It's time to change and come back to a whole new way following me. On the next slide, I'm going to read a quote from one commentator. It's two slides long. He says this, Ruth's Moabite ethnicity generates the energy that drives the plot of the story. So immediately we have a hint into what this is all about. The outsider, this is a story about the outsider, the person who's different. Her identity becomes a problem only at the point of departure when Ruth decides to leave her own land and family and follow her Israelite mother-in-law to a village in Judah. Next slide. By doing so, Ruth steps across the spatial and social boundaries that differentiate Israelites from Moabites and the people of God from all other people. So we see this divide, separation, this we're in, you're out. You're the other, we're the right ones. It's just human thinking. And not just when it comes to religion, but all aspects of human thinking. There is this deep need for us to say who is not and who is. And this is just going to cut across that throughout the book and put that in its place. It says, Ruth the Moabite enters Israel's social and geographic space uninvited and probably unwanted. The ensuing drama grapples with the import of the foreigner's presence among the descendants of Jacob. This is a story about the alien, the stranger, the person who is far from God, and Israel, or our responsibility and mission to those kinds of people. We have a responsibility as Christians to those who are far from God, to those who are on the outside. And it's easy at times to neglect that mission because we view them as our enemy, just like Israel did with Moab. And Ruth, the story of Ruth's going to try and help us view people in a completely different way, as people that we're on mission to. Not people we're in conflict with and in struggle against. That's a whole new perception, a whole new way of looking at things, I think. Totally different than the way the world views things. Verse 3, the next slide. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They took for themselves Moabite wife, women as wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. But then Mahlon and Chilion also died. He's chilling on. And I'm sorry, I was sad. And the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. So what we have here is just this tragedy and catastrophe. And like they said in the video, out of the tragedy comes redemption, mercy, and compassion. It could be easy to look and think, well, yeah, he left Israel. He got what he deserved. And that could be the easy response. And maybe you've heard that taught. But it is through the tragedy And maybe there was judgment there or not. We don't know. It doesn't ever say. But even through the judgment, well, if it was there, comes compassion, redemption, and mercy. Think of the story of the prodigal son. This is, Ruth is the prodigal son story in so many ways. The younger son left home, went to a distant land, and in the distant land, bad things happened to him. But it was in the distant land where he was redeemed, where he was restored, where he was saved, we might say. The older son never left home. And at the end of the story, he is not redeemed. He is not saved. Now, we don't know what happens to him because the story ends. That's the story of Ruth. The next slide, verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the land of Moab, for she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she departed from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. What we have here is that this is kind of the return of the prodigal. Naomi is returning. But what curiously happens is at the same time Naomi is returning to Israel, God has returned to Israel. And the two coincide. So again, we have this human and divine working together in the story. And as we saw, that'll be a theme, one of the many themes throughout the book. So then to the next and final passage, verse 8. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with us as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband." Then she kisses them and they lift up their voices and they wept. So Naomi's going back to Israel. And the daughter-in-laws are coming with her, but then she stops and she turns and says, "You know, you guys need to go home." And there's two things probably going on with Naomi here. One is there's a genuine concern for these two women and their prospects in Bethlehem. She realizes they have zero prospects in Bethlehem. They're Moabites. Jewish men are not going to want a Moabite. And they're going to end up, they're eventually going to have to sell themselves in slavery or in something worse. And so she's concerned that, but also I think she's concerned about herself and her own ability to get by. And having two Moabite women with her is not going to help. So what she does is she demonstrates the thinking of the day, which would have been common. She basically says you belong to a certain people and must remain in that place. I belong to another set of people and I remain in that place. And those two groups are not to mix. They are to be separated. And they aren't to mix. So the big takeaway from today is that Ruth is a story of redemption of the outsider, the enemy, the one who is lost. What's going to happen, and we'll see this in the story is, as we go through it, is the most unlikely person is going to become the most important person in the story. And Ruth is not only going to be a blessing to Naomi, but she's going to transform the entire community of Israel. She's coming from a distance into the community. And she's the one God is going to use to change everything in that community. And we'll see that transformation take place. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. As we enter this story, just open our eyes up to what you might have for us, what you might wish to teach us. Lord, in this story, unlike the prodigal, what we see is both the younger and the older son are redeemed. The people of Bethlehem are redeemed. They are transformed. The outsider is saved and redeemed. And all become one community of your people. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing together of God's ability to transform us from the inside out as well. Thanks for coming. Have a great week.